Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance need the cover of October sky.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, you know, as everybody knows, my opinion on the interest rate market, I had to find the only other guy who agrees with me of what might happen, because today is Fed Day, but we're not going to talk about that yet, because I got some very exciting news from my good friend Jeff Sika. And last week, I got a great announcement about the Hampshire companies. Jeff Sika, welcome aboard, brother.
Hey, Todd. Good being on. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So anyways, and Jeff is Circle Square Alternatives, before I forget. Circle Square Alternatives, as I like to call him. He's the advisor's advisor. But Jeff, I mean, a very exciting announcement I got. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, one of the things is there's been this misconception that since we've become so zeroed in on what to do if you're not in the market. Everybody's so zeroed in on the market. Everybody's so definitive about the market continuing to go up, and the fact that I've been tearing out of the market for a while now, people are wondering, well, what have you been doing with your money? You know, I think there's this misconception that I'm sitting with money under the mattress. That's not the case. We've been allocating money to real estate, and especially with my relationship with the Hampshire companies. Hampshire is a marquee name in the Northeast. They're a 60-year company. They've been in existence for 60 years. They've done some of the most significant real estate deals in the Northeast, and especially in New Jersey. So what we've been doing with them is building apartment complexes, multifamily residential, near train stations throughout New Jersey. And that's turned out to be a very successful model, especially since we have two things happening in New Jersey. The first is that most of the people, of a tremendous percentage of people who work in New York, live in New Jersey, so they obviously need housing, and the cost of housing in New York is so expensive that a lot of people who work in New York can't afford to live in New York. As a matter of fact, the vast majority of people can't afford it. So we started to develop near these transit hubs. And that's yesterday. There were a couple articles, but we had broke ground on an apartment complex in Westfield. This was the first transit-oriented apartment complex in the town of Westfield, New Jersey, in over a decade. So it was a real significant story for us, and it's going to be a beautiful complex, and we anticipate that we'll be leased up probably as soon as we put the first shovel in the ground. So that's where we're finding value, and that's where our focus has been. And one thing I'll tell you, even about real estate, is there's not as much real estate to buy now, which is why we have opted to do ground-up construction, which is not something that was part of our original business plan, but there's been such tremendous appreciation in the real estate sector that there's not as much out there to buy. So our philosophy is, if you can't buy it, you have to build it.
Yeah, well, that's the Sika story. He figures out how to make the best out of every buck, and that's always something that we respect, because you and I agree on one thing, that nothing should compare to the S&P. It should compare to your own wealth. And what the S&P does is not important to how we're making, whether or not we're making generational wealth versus just trying to benchmark ourselves against some ridiculous index that has absolutely no meaning. What do you say?
Yeah, you know, and here's the thing. I mean, I think since financial television started to put the indexes in the corner of the screen, people think that the whole world runs around that little box. And as investors, that's one of the greatest pitfalls an investor could ever have, to think that everything, their net worth, their retirement savings, their college funds, is dependent on that little box, I think is so short-sighted. And the advisors out there, and I advise hundreds of advisors, and the advisors out there that I talk to, is I tell them, don't spend so much time looking at that little box and trying to prove how you could outguess what's going to happen in that little box. You have to start thinking about how do I diversify. And how do I take advantage of opportunities that have really minimum dependence on what happens in that box on the lower left-hand side of a screen?
You know, it's funny you mention that because, you know, I think since technology has become so prevalent in the world, and everybody carries their iPhone or, you know, whatever they carry, but everybody's looking at their IRA every day. Like, they're looking at it every minute. Like, who gives a crap about my IRA today? I can't, first of all, I can't cash it unless I'm old enough. Number one. Number two, investing is not something that you're doing for this moment. Investing is something you're doing to build what you like to call is generational wealth, not to be simply looking at it every single minute of the day. And that's where your model and the endowment model that you create and the things that you do really bring people wealth and not this ridiculous, well, every minute I got to check my phone. What do you think of all that stuff?
I think it's true. And I think when you really drill down into how people make money, there's very few people who will be overly dramatically impacted by the S&P 500 one way or another that have achieved a level of wealth. I mean, granted, everybody when in bad economies or in market crashes, everybody's affected to some point. But the more successful investors out there would not have a dramatic impact, would not experience a dramatic impact on their wealth, whether or not the S&P 500 declines or advances. They just won't, because I think there's a point when you become an intelligent investor that you begin to realize that there's a level of unpredictability that creates a vulnerability in an overall asset allocation that really should not be endured to the extent that a lot of people have endured it. I mean, I'm not against risk. I believe wholeheartedly in risk, and I believe that investors need to assess the amount of risk that they're willing to take, and the investors that are willing to take greater risks have to bite the bullet if it doesn't work out. But investors that have a real concern with asset allocation and preservation of capital have to really get their focus off of the indexes. I mean, it should be virtually, to a certain percentage of the population, it should be virtually irrelevant what the S&P 500 does one day to the next.
I agree 100%. Look, you can step up, and as you accumulate more wealth, you can afford to take more risk. But your whole life should not be revolved around only one item, and that is the benchmark of the S&P. And to listen to those imbeciles that speak about that on a regular basis, I think it's a bad comparison. I think it does a disservice to the investor, in my opinion. Again, I'm only speaking my opinion, everybody, I'm not putting words in Jeff's mouth. But I think we're doing a disservice, and it really irritates me. In fact, it makes me so angry, Jeff, that, you know, I'll get crazy on my tweeting when I'm driving because I'm listening to some of this stuff, and I'd like to pull all my hair out. But when we come back from the break, I want to get your views on that, because I know you're a big believer in risk, and I know what you were doing in 08 when things were going into turmoil. But we're with our friend Jeff Sika of Circle Squared Alternatives. He is what I like to call the advisor's advisor. Very exciting news he had last week with his new groundbreaking. This guy is one of the smartest guys on the street. And if you're not catching him, he's on Fox Business all the time as well. You got to check him out. He is awesome. Circle Square Adults, Jeff Sika. This is Todd Bubba Horowitz, The Bubba Show. We're going to come right back with Jeff after the break.
Right, turn off the lights. chance we gonna lose our minds tonight.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. I'm with my friend Jeff Sekas, Circle Squared Alternatives. And again, it's such exciting news, Jeff. I'm really happy for you. I think that's great. And, you know, I remember, you know, when we were hanging out together in 2008, and you go, you know, I got to be buying some real estate here. This is the time to step up. And so, you know, people looked at you like, well, what are you, wacko? And you said, look, this is a low risk probability here. I'm buying something at the bottom, very much like the commodity space is right now. And that's when you're investing and not looking at your phone or looking at that corner, that stupid ticker that's posted, you're putting yourself in a position to create wealth and not an instant gratification one day rally. What do you say, my friend?
Yeah, I mean that was exactly it. And you know, it's funny because we had an abundance of deals in 2008 and 2009 in real estate. While everybody was scared to death, you know, there's always a point in a successful investor's evolution that if you don't look back and think, you know, I might have capitalized to a point, but I should have really capitalized more. That's how I feel about 2008. I mean, we bought a lot of real estate coming out of 2008 and really even looked at so many values and so much opportunity. We would buy real estate and we were virtually bidding against ourselves. So that really worked out to a tremendous extent. And what we're seeing now is exactly opposite in every asset class. I mean, you know what we're seeing now is that everybody's piling on the same trades, and that'll work for a while, but it just doesn't work for an extended period of time without there being a tremendous amount of bloodshed at the end of that fantasy that everybody that everybody's clinging on to now. So, you know, we've looked at real estate now that, you know, the what's good about real estate is, especially when you have low borrowing costs and you're using a moderate amount of leverage to fund your deals, is that you have the ability to create deals. In the stock market, you don't really have the ability to create deals unless you happen to bring a company public, which is not the usual way to be in the stock market. So we have the ability to create deals, to create opportunities by ground up construction and take advantage of low borrowing costs, and that's made all the difference instead of piling into the same old trades. I mean, you look at the volatility of the market. I mean, the volatility of the market has resulted from investors either going long or short together. People are not, you know, no one's willing to be a contrarian right now. So it's all about the momentum. So if the momentum is going, if there's bullish momentum, you have investors pile into that momentum. And if there's bearish momentum, you have the short sellers come out. And that's not a trade that we want to be a part of, unless, of course, we're using a hedging strategy. Then it all makes sense. Then it all works. But only if we're hedging.
That is true, and we're going to get to that hedging because I want to talk about it because I know how important that is to you. But I want to take this point now because you said something that's so important to the average guy, but to everybody, not just the average guy, but to the people who are controlling other people's money. You know, I compare this market to the Titanic, right? We all know the story of the Titanic, the greatest cruise liner that was never going to sink, and of course we know what happened, right? When you take everybody and you put them on one side of the boat or on one side of the theater or wherever you put them, when everybody's on the same side, the end result can never be good because there is no when there's nobody left to buy or sell. If you're all loaded on the same side, there is no market. There is no price discovery. There is no true trade. And what's going to happen is that boat, just like the Titanic, is going to sink faster than you could ever imagine. And everybody's going to sit back and say, how come I didn't recognize that asset bubble that I was just an ass trading all this stuff, jumping in with everybody else, knowing that guys like Jeff Sekas were out there saying, you know what, you need to be in real estate, you need to be diversifying, you need to be moving on. What do you say, my friend?
Well, I think that's a very good analogy. And, you know, what I say to some of the analysts that I talk to on a daily basis, because we do manage analysts and money managers that have different opinions than I do. And, you know, the reason for that is just our overall structure. We know we haven't cornered the market on accurate forecasts. So we know we have to have diversified opinions. But what I do see is when too many of those opinions are lining up on the same side, we're in a very vulnerable position. And what I see now is, as far as the overall opinions of a lot of the analysts and money managers that I talk to every day, is a lot of them have this underlying negativity, which is very interesting to me, meaning that, you know, they're not 100% convinced that the market deserves to be where it is. And that underlying skepticism is going to create a scenario where a lot of investors head for the door at the same time. So I don't just say, well, are you, you know, I don't just say to a manager, well, what's your percentage of exposure to the U.S. equity market? I say, what's your exposure, but how do you feel about that exposure? You know, I don't mean to play psychologist, but how do you feel about that exposure? And I don't get an overall sense of confidence, which I believe that when things begin to fall, you're not going to have investors who are too committed to staying in. Because, you know, first of all, a lot of them have had a certain amount of capital appreciation. They need to preserve their gains. So I think that's why we're seeing the volatility we're seeing, and that's why we're going to see a more dramatic fall, because the underlying psychology of a lot of managers, hedge fund managers, mutual fund managers, is the same. They don't have confidence. They're just riding momentum. They're really they're pushing the envelope when they talk about fundamentals being supportive of the valuations of the market today. I think a lot of the money managers I speak to, they agree with me more often than not, which has always been unusual to me, because, you know, I could go on a show and I'm the bear on the show, and the other guy's real bullish, and then we come off set. And he says to me, you know, truthfully, Jeff, I really think like you, but, you know, I'm staying invested at least for now. I think we have 3 months more of this, and then I'll be out. And I get a lot of that. And that's where I think the danger is. Because, you know, it's like I said on the Barney show a couple weeks ago, I'd rather be early than late. If I'm out too early, then, you know, shame on me. I mean, I know people want to ring the bell at the top, but I just don't. I don't want to reach for it again. The last few decades when I've reached for that bell at the top of the market, it turns out to be disastrous.
Well, you know, we all know that story, because again, there is no way that you can pick bottoms or tops in markets. You can only use probability models that allow you to be in the right position. And yeah, so if you're out early, let them eat cake. So what? You got out a little bit early, but you locked in the dough. And you can now take, you know, what these guys don't get, and what really bothers me, is we've got opportunity costs as well. You know, if you're stuck and you're stubborn and you're holding out for that last 10 cents, whatever, you know, whatever the number is, but that last bit, if you know in your mind that you're in the wrong position and you expect change, then you should be preparing ahead. You know, we talk about it all the time in my classes and with my people that, look, don't wait for the moment. The minute you start thinking that the change is coming, it's time to start adjusting, because what you're giving up is the opportunity to find something new and be in something new before somebody else gets there. And when you sit here and continue to try to, you know, play with this, for example, stock market, that is, look, could it go higher? Yeah, it could go a lot higher. I can't tell you it's not going to go up, but certainly at these valuations, at these levels, with all of the underhidden things that nobody's talking about, the falling of the most widely held stocks that are down 20% on the year, even though the market's near unchanged, with the ridiculous Federal Reserve that has no clue of what's going on, with Mario Draghi and every other central bank around the world trying to manipulate their currency, there's issues out there, and you have to be able to create a model to create wealth, not a trade. And that's where I think people get very confused. But I'm going to come back. I took too much time, but I'm going to come back with my man, Jeff Sica. from Circle Square Adults, Circle Square Alternatives. The advisor's advisor, who is on top of the game, and this is not somebody who hasn't been in around. I mean, he was an advisor. He was with Wells Fargo. He's been all over. And again, this guy, if you listen to him, you'll watch him, he's got your best interest at heart because he gets the entire model. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back with Jeff Sika after the break.
I don't need baggy clothes. Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Bubba.org, check it out. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my man, my friend, Jeff Sika. And where's my new shoes, by the way, Circle Squirrel Alternatives? You had a new pair of shoes I saw in New York. Where are they? I want them sent to my house.
Well, you know what? I'm a little bit of a shopaholic, and if I'm walking around New York especially, I get very compulsive with shopping.
Right.
So I try not to be compulsive with investing, but I'm compulsive with shopping, and I will buy you shoes because by the looks of the shoes you were wearing, you might want them.
That's right, because I don't get those Allen Edmonds, those specials. I got to go to Payless. Anyways, so, you know, Jeff, in all seriousness, so we talk about, you and I are very much of the same cloth, and we believe in the endowment model. We believe that we're never going to be able to pick exactly tops or bottoms. But we also know one other thing from the businesses that we're in, and that's that people hate to sell stock, right? They think that, you know, they want to fall in love. They want to be there. They want to hold them. And, you know, I've developed a master hedging strategy that actually takes all of your dreams and thoughts, which is creating an endowment wealth building strategy, and puts it in. And don't you believe that the importance of hedging your portfolio to protect against that potential Titanic that's going to sink, to make sure that, so if you don't want to sell, you don't have to, you can continue to stay in the market at all times. What do you think of a strategy like that?
I think it's brilliant. And, you know, the first time I heard you and the first time I looked up what you were doing, you know, what first of all shocked me was that there's nobody that talks about that. I know when talking to advisors, you know, and I talk to advisors every day, and I do conferences with advisors, and I've really gotten to know their psychology. When you ask them, about what are they doing to hedge, and most advisors say nothing. And what I say to them is, I say to advisors, I say, your whole career depends on how well you invest on behalf of your clients. You own insurance, probably life insurance, in most cases disability insurance or long-term health care. You own all that insurance, yet you're not putting insurance on your client accounts that are insistent in being in the stock market. Because I tell them, you know what's going to happen. The market is going to crash. Unexpectedly, one day it's going to plummet. And you're going to blink your eyes, and your gains are going to be vanished, and clients are going to come to you, and they're going to say, why didn't you get me out? Now, you know as well as I do that trying to call the top is impossible. But that's what your clients are asking you to do. And if you're an investor, there's stocks that I own that I don't ever want to sell. I don't ever want to sell them. And I understand emotional attachment to stocks. I know the upside of that, and I know the downside of that. But the one discipline is to use a hedging program that is going to get you into the mindset that, yes, you could be in stocks, you could be invested, but you need to have a hedge. And you need to give up the fantasy that you're going to be able to call it. You know, you're going to see when that reversal is going to happen. And to me, I don't want to think that much. I want to think, but I don't want to think that much. I don't want to have to make that call. To me, that's too much of a speculative call. I want to make the decision to hedge. And it's not a difficult thing to do. So with the advisors I talk to on a day-by-day basis, some of them are starting to get it, and I consider them the elite advisors. I consider them the ones that, you know, I always say, if I need an advisor, I could tell I want to help that, work with that advisor. If that advisor is somebody who, when I walk out of that office, I'm looking for some money to give them to manage for me. That's how I look at it. And when they start talking about downside and protecting downside and using hedging strategies and simplifying the whole method for me, that's the advisor I want to work with. And those are the advisors who are going to survive. The rest of them are going to become extinct. And what you're doing and what you're teaching is crucial for advisors to embrace.
No, I couldn't agree more, because, you know, we create, look at basically, you know, we've created a synthetic portfolio so that you never have to sell your stock. So the guys who don't want to sell, you don't have to sell. You know why? Because you can compound your own portfolio by using the circle squared endowment model, because that's really what it is. All you're doing, when this market does break, we don't know it. We can't predict it. We're both bearish, but we can't predict it. But, you know, you have to understand, and the advisors have to understand this too. It's not a bullish or bearish thing. It's a certainty based on a mathematical probability in history. So we know that, we've all heard the quote, those who don't follow history are doomed to repeat it. And it's going to be repeated because that's what human emotion drives it. But if you can create that synthetic model around your portfolio, and you know what, Jeff, when it goes down and the market breaks 20 or 30%, that you can actually buy 20 or 30% more stock down, not have lost a dime, and then have accumulated more to your position, and then we do go back up and rally because the market does rally 9% year over year. What do you think about that? I mean, that's the type of, isn't that the kind of guy that you want to be involved with?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the advisors that are doing that, that are thinking that way, you know, that are managing the expectations of their clients and making them realize that, you know, advisors have gotten so used to clients staying with them until there's a bad market and then going moving. And, you know, advisors are among the hardest working people you'll ever meet. I mean, a good advisor, you know, a good advisor is like a good doctor. They have their phone on them 24 hours. You know, I mean, they'll go to any length to service their clients. And I'm thinking of a couple, and, what I tell them is that, you know, you invest a little time and start to learn how to do this. It's not a hard thing. I mean, a lot of these advisors are very highly educated, and they read a lot and they research a lot, and it's certainly something they could do, because the best position to be in is when the market tanks, you protect as much of your downside as you can and then have money. Because markets are irrational. There'll come a point, and I know this will happen at some point. I mean, the market is not going to go up like this forever. The market is at a breaking point, in my opinion, right now. And there'll be another 2008, 2009, when there'll be so many opportunities, you won't know what to do first. But a lot of these investors that are going to choose to try to ride out the volatility, they might ride out some of the volatility. They might, you know, eventually break even, you know, that like they did from that 2001 to 2010 time frame. It may happen, but it doesn't advanced our net worth at all, because they had no ability to take advantage of those downturns. I mean, that's why, you know, I say all the time, I mean, I use these terms like cash is the dreaded cash. I used on TV the other day. Everybody's just, you know, God forbid you keep any cash. There's nothing wrong with it. But you could do an even better job of protecting yourself and giving yourself the ability to invest after major sell-offs by using a hedge and keeping some cash, using a hedge, generating income off of your portfolio, and adhering to the endowment model, and always looking at the downside. You know, always looking at any strategy. It's like we're getting towards playoff season in the NFL, and you know one thing that excites me about this whole planning is I know some NFL coaches really well, and the time they spend in the film room just looking at films, what could go wrong, where are we most vulnerable? And that's the way you got to look at a portfolio. Where are you most vulnerable? Where do you need to put reinforcements? How could you protect yourself from whatever's coming down the road? Because you don't know what the market is going to throw at you. It's completely, incredibly unpredictable. And so we look at every scenario and we make sure we got as many of them as covered as we can. And we know that even if we have as many covered as we can, there's always going to be those handful that we can't do anything about. But our strategy is to reduce the variables, the unknowns, to as close to zero as we can get. And thankfully, with strategies like yours, we're able to do it.
And that's funny you say that, because, you know, I get emails all the time from people that are using what we've developed, and they go, God, I'm so happy that I'm hedged. What stock should I buy with all the extra money I just picked up, because I didn't have to suffer in that downdraft that we just had? I mean, I can't tell you from even August 24th, because the strategies that we use not only protect the downside, but there are times that you'll make more than the market because of the way we're doing it. But it's really just a synthetic wrap that is so simple that, you know, you remember the old show, it's so simple even a fifth grader can do it. I mean, this is so simple for everybody. But it just comes back to the bottom line, which is what you preach for your entire career, is don't create gains, create wealth. Gains are for the poor people. We want to create wealth so that we have generational family wealth that can go on. And if you've ever been involved with somebody, this is the guy you got to look to, Jeff Sika from Circle Squared Alternatives. You got to watch him on TV. The best dressed guy on TV, too. But I tell you, I love some of those purple ties he wears and those fancy suits. I tell you, I gotta hang around with him more. Maybe I can start to dress as good as him. But we are with Jeff Sika, Circle Squared Alts. He is our friend. And, of course, I have a lot of fun together, smoking cigars, hanging out, but really putting together great portfolios for great people. Because, again, at the end, it's all about protection and about taking care of it and being able to take advantage of tough times. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, will be right back after the break with our man, Jeff Sika. I've been feeling real good, came a long way from misunderstood. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I soft? Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I'm with my friend Jeff Sika, Circle Squared Alt, Circle Squared Alternatives, the advisor's advisor. And I'm so fortunate because it takes me about 9 weeks to get an appointment with my man. But you know what? It's worth it every time I get to see him. And so, Jeff, the moment of truth, it is time. And I know you and I are on the same side of this equation or this trade. And we are, I think, pretty much alone, at least publicly. And we are alone in this. And I say that today, Janet Yellen spins it the same way as always, and she says, no, we have to wait for more data. The interest rate, we are not going to raise rates. We're going to stay at zero. What do you say, my friend?
Well, it's interesting that you and I are probably the only people on the face of the earth that believe that, but I agree with that. I've been saying it all along. I mean, I don't think this Fed is going to raise rates today. I don't think, you know, I think they eventually have to, but they're not going to do it today. And the reason they won't is that Janet Yellen is a smart person. She's very, you know, I think she's delusional, extremely delusional, but she is smart. And I think she knows just how vulnerable the economy is right now. And the fact that she could come out and make it seem like she's going to raise rates and see how the market reacts and see how the foreign banks react, to me, is indicative of something. She has spoken about this structural weakness in the economy consistently since she took office. She knows that the employment numbers are not what they seem. She knows that there's structural weakness, but where she is going to refrain from raising rates is going to be to do with the pressure from the banking system outside of the U.S. I believe wholeheartedly that financial institutions outside of the U.S. are not prepared for a interest rate increase in the U.S., even a small one of 25 basis points. They're not ready for it. Europe is over-leveraged. The emerging markets are over-leveraged. And, of course, we know that China and Japan are over-leveraged as well. So there is. So Janet Yellen is going to take into account that we have built a banking system based on interdependency of financial institutions. That interdependency is fragile, and they haven't stress-tested it. And I'm sure Janet Yellen has been getting calls morning, noon, and night from institutions around the world to say that we are not ready for this. And she will refrain from raising rates. And when she finally does raise rates, it's the beginning of the end for the markets. And I think the markets are going to be probably extremely volatile towards that, following the first interest rate increase. But they're going to be so zeroed in on what she has to say that she's going to realize that they've successfully inflated financial assets, stocks and bonds and real estate, but has failed to accomplish anything in the economy, anything. So it won't happen, in my opinion.
Well, I'm with you, and I'm in my opinion, they've done a horrible job, and she may be a smart person, and she may be delusional, but I tweeted out the other day, the Fed, the incompetent, led by the ignorant. And again, you cannot maneuver a business. And make no mistake, the United States of America, the Federal Reserve System, is a business. And you cannot run a business out of theory and from a book. Because we saw it with Ben Bernanke in 2013 when they had a taper tantrum and he let them convince him to change his mind. We saw it 10 days ago with Mario Draghi when he came out and the markets fell. So he came out the next day and recorrected what he said. These people are not supposed to be worried about the day-to-day market action. The markets know how to price themselves in every asset class, in every part of the world. And when we finally let the markets be the markets, we will have a system that will be back on the mend. In the meantime, we will continue to struggle and continue to wipe out the middle class because of the ignorance of what the people that are in charge are trying to do. You want to comment on that?
Yeah, okay. And you know, it's been my complaint from day one, my argument from day one, that the market has become completely addicted to the Fed, and you know, I there's this cause and effect scenario that's playing out that investors are saying, well, what difference does it make? If the market goes up, everybody makes money, everybody's happy, you know, people are getting, you know, they're growing their retirement accounts, their IRAs, their 401ks. Why does it matter? Well, the reason why it matters is I believe in this whole concept of sustainability. I think a market, to be sustainable, a market has to have, there has to be components of that market that cannot be, the overall composition of the market cannot be manipulated in any way. Once a market becomes manipulated, whether it's by outside forces or interior forces, that manipulation will undermine the future of that market. In the case of the stock market, the Federal Reserve has introduced itself as the one and only most powerful catalyst that has ever affected a market. So corporate earnings, all the things that used to be so important, don't mean anything anymore. And because they are a group of political representatives, they're always going to have a bias. They're always going to have an agenda. And in this technology-oriented society where trading has become so automated when it comes to the way that computers trade on algorithms, the central bank now, we've concentrated the power in too few hands. And when you do that, you negate every other influence on that, on the market. So even though we have a Fed right now that's been scared to death of raising interest rates and been so zeroed in on inflating the stock and bond market, investors will lose confidence in that because it becomes a dictatorship. You have one person, a group of people, a conglomerate of a small contingency of people that are controlling everything. And we as Americans, as free citizens, do not like that. We don't like that. We never like that. And we're not going to like it when it comes to investing. I don't want Janet Yellen to wake up on the wrong side of the bed and say something wrong that sends the market into a tailspin. And I don't want her to be so Keynesian-oriented that she believes, and I believe in her delusional psychology, that she will tell you that it should be up to the central bank, up to the Federal Reserve, to determine when the stock market goes up and when it goes down. That may sound like an outlandish comment, but I believe that she believes that. I believe that she and Ben Bernanke believed wholeheartedly that the Fed should decide when the market goes up and the Fed should decide when the market goes down. And I think that's a scary place to be.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more because, again, look, you and I know one thing for sure. And you just went through it with your Hampshire property. You bought a property. You're breaking ground. You bought a piece of property to break the ground on, and you didn't just go out and pay whatever they said. You built the price. You had price discovery, and that's what markets need is price discovery, not central bank manipulation, not imbeciles that are trying to run everything out of a theory, not a government that overspends, because when have they ever been right? And I'm not going to let you say any more today because I'm going to say it's a nasty thing. No, I'm going to say it's nasty, but at the end, the Federal Reserve, the way it was designed, is not operating the way it was supposed to be. But we and Jeff and I both agree that the Fed is not going to raise rates today. We'll see how it plays out. But Jeff Sika, you are awesome, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for your candor. It's always great to have you on.
Thank you so much, Todd. I'm looking forward to the next time.
This is Jeff Sika from Circle Squared Alt, Circle Square Alternatives, the advisor's advisor. Catch him on Fox. You'll know the guy, the big handsome guy that's always got some fancy clothes on, and you'll know because he's going to tell you like he sees it, and that's the Bubba Show way. This is how I see it. I have no excuse. I'm not going to change my opinion for anybody. This is how I see it. He's great. He's wonderful. Check him out. CircleSquaredAlts.com. This has been the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We had a great time with Jeff today. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. Every day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.